Gospel and what Jesus has done for us and that here tonight. Amen. Boy, ain't God good. Amen. Amen. Ain't he good to us? He's so good to us. Praise the Lord. Taking your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Mark in chapter 5. Book of Mark in chapter 5. I desire your prayers tonight. Do desire the prayer warrior, if you will, lift us up here for just a little bit. Our body's tired. Amen. Been a long day, but God's good. Amen. He's been faithful. Amen. I was thinking last night, I said, God, what am I going to do? I said, I've got ordination service. We got to preach in the morning, and we've studied. We feel like we've got what you want for us this morning, and God spoke this morning. Well, he went ahead and spoke again this morning. We was up early, and that for tonight, and I thank God he's put the stamp on it. He's put the approval on it, and I thank God for that tonight. Amen. Mark chapter 5. And that in the Word of God, I don't really know exactly where I'm going to start reading. I'm just going to start reading, amen? And you just find yourself there with us, amen? Praise God. And I want to read three stories that are accounted in Mark chapter 5. And through those three stories, we'll give you what God has given to us. Most of you have stood. I thank you for honoring and reverence the Word of God, amen? Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, this is speaking of Jesus, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Boy, I'm thankful in those moments that there's one that can tame you. Looking at chapter 5 and verse 15, and the Bible said, and that in Jesus, and they came to Jesus to see that which was possessed with the devil, and had legion sitting and clothed in the right mind. And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell him, that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when they had came unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So he's wanting to go with Jesus. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and hath compassion on thee. Amen. You read just a few more verses of Scripture. And verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, and that by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she may shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. In verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she'd heard of Jesus, came and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for another heaven-bought privilege and honor you've given us to stand. God, where no man dare to stand alone. Father, I need you. I pray, God, for your divine anointment, God, that you would shed upon us, God, the oil. God, I pray you would anoint our head. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch our speech and our tongue. And God, I pray, Father, you'd speak through us and speak to us. God, I pray you'd make me to be a watering pot tonight. Father God, I pray you'd fill me up and you'd pour me out. God, that the people of this congregation may leave here with growth in their life. Father, I pray spiritual growth. I pray, God, that if there's something that may be ailing them, God, I want them to know that there is help in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you tonight, God, and I pray you bless the preaching of your word. Father, I feel so insignificant.
said, Father, I feel so unworthy. I feel so small. But God, I'm glad I serve a big name God. Oh, Lord, and you are able to take this unworthy and unfitting vessel. And God, you can use me. God, would you do that for just a little bit? And I'll praise you. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. And I'll ask all these things in the precious name of my Lord, my Savior, my King. And I asked all these things in His name, Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. Thank you for standing to honor the precious and infallible Word of God. Amen. I begin to look at this chapter, and I like how Mark, and that lays it out, and that he begins to lay out the accounts of what's happened. And first of all, we find a man who's of the land of the Gadareans, who they call by the name of Legion. They called him Legion for one reason, and that one reason was nothing more than he had a legion of demons that possessed his being. And that this man was troubled in the morning, he was troubled in the night, and that he was troubled all throughout the day. This, the Bible tells me that he ran naked in the tombs, and that they tried to put chains on him. They tried to bind him down. They tried to put the fetters on him. But everything they used to contain this man, he was so possessed with demons that he broke every chain, and that he could not be held. He ran and lived amongst the dead. And that he lived in the graveyard. Amen. Tonight, now if we'll get real spiritual for a moment, every one of us sitting in here had a moment where we just lived in the graveyard. Amen. We was just living among the dead. Amen. Being dead ourselves. Boy, I mean, Haley was riding down the road the other day, and there was an old dead tree on the side of the road. And I looked at Haley and I said, look at them buzzards sitting in that tree. And we began to conversate over those buzzards. And I said, boy, ain't that ironic? Buzzards sitting in a dead tree waiting on something to die so that they could eat it. Amen. Friend, can I tell you tonight that when I was lost in my trespasses and sin, amen, I was as dead could be. But friend, hey, when I wasn't in my right mind, when I lost all control of my being, honey, there was somebody passed by. There was somebody came by my way. There was somebody came from a far land, amen, from a different country to where I was, amen, and met me where I was. Amen. We find this man was crazy. This man was possessed. This man, dear friend, had a lot of trouble in his life. Amen. We find, secondly, there is this man by the name of Jairus. Amen. Who is a leader there. Friend, he was a man of great importance. Jairus was a man. Friend, he was of wealth. But friend, can I tell you that Jairus had something that he couldn't. He didn't have something that could help his daughter. And we find that Jairus comes and he calls upon the name of Jesus. And he says, my daughter, she's a lying in the bed. She's sick. Friend, I don't know what it is that's ailing this young girl. All I know about her from the King James Bible says that she was 12 years old and she was about to die. Friend, can I tell you, there ain't nothing more heartbreaking than watching a youngin' pass away. Friend, can I tell you, tonight there's been daddies that's had to carry little old caskets, amen, and put them in these little old graves that should never have to be. But friend, it's happened. My dear friend Patrick O'Dell, and that carried his little daughter, Chelsea Grace, I believe was her name, amen, in a little casket about that long. And later in a grave. Friend, this man's daughter was about to die, and he called upon Jesus, and he said, if you just come, if you just say the word, he said, I know she'd be healed. But then we've got a woman who's had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she's been to the doctors. She's tried to get the shots. She's tried to have surgery. She spent all of her living and had upon physicians, and that, and she could not find any that could give her help, that could heal her, and that could bring her life back to her. Honey, this woman, I believe, went day in and day out with a severe issue, and that of blood. And that, you say, well, preacher, and that, what do you think it was? Well, there's been many speculation, but friend, whatever it was, the Bible said it was an issue of blood. She, and that bled every day of her life, and that for 12 years, and she finally came to a place in her life where she didn't know where else to go. She needed help. She needed healing. She needed a touch from somebody other than just physicians. She needed a touch from the great physician. Somebody say amen right there tonight. Friend, I'm going to tell you that this woman, I believe she was down to the very last straw. I believe she was down to her last strength. I believe she was down to the last little bit of ounce of faith she had, that somebody was going to help her. Friend, we have three very, and that I guess they're similar in some aspects. We find two girls, so a woman and a girl is about to die, and we find a man that's running amongst the dead. And friend, can I tell you, there's one that specializes in that when death comes on the scene. There's one that's got a cure. There's one that's got a remedy. There's one that's got a hand that can overstretch and can work a miracle. I mean, this hand has done some things. What do you mean, preacher? Help me. Somebody needs to help me tonight. Amen, this hand, and has turned the water into wine. This hand, a friend, has stooped down and spit. Hey, he spit on the ground. Amen. And he took and rubbed clay on a blind man's eyes. And the blind man dipped himself in the water. Amen. And he could see again. He calls the paralytic man. Amen. They lowered him down through the ceiling, ripped the roof off the place, and got him in to Jesus, and he said, rise up, take thy bed, rise up and walk. And he walked out of that place praising and rejoicing and giving God the glory. Amen. He caused the lame legs to walk. He's caused the dumb to talk. He caused the lepers to be cleansed. He caused and had all manner of sickness to be healed. What can this man do for me tonight? Honey, I'm going to tell you this, whatever's ailing you, Jesus can. Jesus can. Tonight, that's all I want to preach to you, is Jesus can. That ain't nothing you ain't never heard before, but you find these people's lives were in dire need. These people was on their last leg of life. And this morning, you may, or this evening, you may sit back and say, well, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, I don't know how bad it was. Friend, there was a man that was running loose, crazy and demented out of his mind in the tombs, and he screamed and he yelled and cried out to the dead. Amen. Hey, you get a mental picture. This guy lived in the graveyard. Amen. Terry, could you imagine living in a graveyard? Amen. I mean, there ain't nothing. Amen. After night, you're going to hear everything that's ever spooked or scared anybody. Amen. But can I tell you, dear friend, amen, when they looked up on the hill and seen the Gadarene man, they said they ain't no hope for him. There ain't no help help for him. Nobody wants anything to do with him. Amen. He's an outcast. He's gone. Amen. We can't do nothing with him. Amen. We've tried. We've tried. We've tried. But we just gave up on him. Amen. I want to say tonight, friend, praise God that I am not a product that somebody gave up on me. Amen. Nobody. I had some folks that poured into my life. I was a dead man. And then I was walking dead. Amen. And thank God. Amen. That when I thought nobody loved me and nobody cared for me. Amen. I was as good as gone. But there were some folks that rung the prayer bells of heaven. Amen. Got a hold of a big name God. Amen. And I mean the prayer bells rung. And there my life was be forever changed.
Amen.
Because the prayers of the saints of God. I began to think about Legion. Oh, and I thought, I wonder if there was anybody said there's some help for him. Hey man, today we've got 12-step programs, and we've got we've got a recovery, and we've got pills, and we've got all these things. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. Amen. Somebody help me right there. There's nothing wrong. God's gave people some knowledge and that to doctor and help folks and that in this walk of life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, a friend, that we have forgotten about the faith and that of God. Amen. Amen. The doctors can only do so much. The doctors can only do so much. And then it has to be laid in the hands of a greater power. Everybody all right tonight? Hey man, this man was out of his mind crazy. And they said, oh, he'll die there amongst the tombs. I wonder if anybody ever said anything about that, about you like that. Oh, there ain't no hope for them. Ain't no hope for them. Hey man, John, I wonder if anybody ever looked over on the tracks and said, John is a lost cause. Hey man, I wonder how many in Telco said, that old boy right there, he ain't never going to get no help. Hey man, I wonder how many of them looked at me. Hey man, even when I got saved and said there ain't no way. Hey man, that he got what he needed. But friend, old Legion, he was standing there that day when the ship rolled up on the shore. Hey man, I just want to give somebody some good news from glory tonight. Hey man, there's a ship. Hey man, if it ain't already rolled up on your shore, it's a coming. And friend, thank God there's one. Oh, hallelujah. That stands at the bow of the ship. And there's one that leads and guides and steers the ship. Hey man, he's standing there. You could call him the master of the ship. You could call him the captain of the ship. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this ship is unlike any other ships that's ever sailed. Oh, this ship, you can call it the old ship of Zion if you want to. Amen. Oh, this ship's been beat and it's been battered and it's been tattered. Oh, but there's one driving it. Oh, there's one guiding it. Amen. And he's the master of the sea. He's the master. Thank you, Brother Dale. Bless your heart, son. Amen. Can I tell you tonight how that Jesus rolled up, amen, in style. Amen. He rolled up in that old ship of Zion. Amen. Legion was standing up on the hill that day. And he looked down off over the mountainside of the Gadareans. And praise be unto God. Well, glory. Amen. He seen a one that was coming off the boat that day. Amen. He would look like somebody that he ain't never seen before. And friend, when he seen him, he ran to where he was. What's the difference? What's the difference? Surely he had ran up to folks before. Oh, but honey, this time it was different. I want to ask you tonight, how many can remember the day that you ran to the feet of Jesus? Was that like any day you've ever experienced in your life? Amen. I'm telling you, I can't remember when I was born. I can't remember the labors and pains that my mother went through to see me into this world. But praise God, I've got a birth that I can't remember, but I've got one I can't never forget. Amen. And it was the day that he stepped off of that old ship aside and stepped down to where I was on my level, on my ground, and he called unto my name. And I ran to his feet. Ran. Boy, I'm telling you, it didn't take a whole lot of persuasion when the Holy Spirit begins to draw. Sometimes you'll take one step and forget the rest of them. Leonard Harris will tell you tonight, praise God, I love Leonard Harris. He'd stand up, let old guitar in that hand do this right here. Hey, man, and he'd go to testify and he'd go, can't even get nothing out for getting the going on, amen. And old Leonard tell you, he said, I went down a drunk. I went down an alcoholic on a New Year's Eve service with liquor on my breath and alcohol on my clothes. He said, but I came up and that sober, clean, changed, saved by the grace of God, amen. And he said, the preacher looked at him, Sean said, Leonard, he said, I don't smell no alcohol on you. And he said, because Jesus done took every bit of it. Amen. Can I tell you that Jesus can? Amen. When everybody else has quit on you and everybody else has forgot about you and there ain't nobody else around and they've just left you for dead with the dead. Amen. You know what Jesus said? He said, let the dead bury the dead. Honey, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time and it's high time that we get in the business of letting some of these folks in this community and in our family know that there is a Jesus that can, that he can. Oh, I preached up there. You remember that old church there, I'll not name it, and that old man come to me in the foyer and he said, you done God a great disservice tonight. He said, you said that God can. He said, God, he will. And he said, you done got a great disservice. I looked him in the eyes. I said, God bless you, son. I hope you have a wonderful night. And he stood behind me just yapping that jaw. Hey, man, he was just yapping that jaw. And he was a try. He letting the devil use him is what he was doing. Hey, man, he was trying to get me discouraged. He was trying to beat me down. And he was just yaw. Hey, man, anybody had a dog that just sits and digs a hole and just barks down in the hole? Hey, man, they ain't after nothing. They ain't nothing down there. Oh, they're just digging and yaw. Honey, that's what they do. Hey, man, I've heard a lot of yaw. Y'all in my day, but praise God, Jesus has brought me too far and done too much for me now to listen to a bunch of y'all and amen. And they will. Anybody ever seen an old slick tree and hound? They'll go to a tree and they'll stand up and they'll just y'all, and they ain't nothing there to y'all at. They just doing it. He was an old boy. We was in high school, and I hated coon hunting. I did. I didn't like it. He said, I got the best coon dogs in all of Monroe County. Hey, man, I'll not say his name because some of him's probably done dealings with him. But anyhow, we went out one night, and that old dog, he turned it loose. Brother Key, he turned that thing loose. It took off, I mean, just in a hot trail. It barking every breath. He hit a little old sapling there. Hey, man, he said, look at him. He's treed already. And here we go. We get down there, and we got our wheat lights and all our fancy gear on. We're shining up in there, and there ain't no eyes. Everybody knows that when you ain't see no eyes, he's either in the tree or he ain't in the tree at all. And he's looking there, and he said, he's in there. I know he is because he's treed.
We sat there and we beat on that tree, and he had a little old hacksaw and he sawed on that tree for a little bit, and there wasn't no movement. And that dog, the whole time he's doing this, that dog was just yaw, yaw, yaw. Amen. I finally looked at him. I said, pull that thing back. Amen. And go ahead and give him a good whooping, because there ain't no coon in that tree. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, we got people, amen, that's sitting in our pews of our churches today. Amen. And we're trying to preach to them and tell them that there's hope and tell them that there's life and tell them that there is one that can change the lives of our people. And all they want to do, y'all, y'all, y'all. Tonight I'm telling you, we don't need more coon dogs. That slick tree, we need some more dogs with a hot nose. Amen. That's on a trail for God. That's ready to win some souls. And this old Gadarene, I wonder how many people have done said, he's just going to die up there. Jesus walked by and he come running to him. And you know what he said to him? Everybody know your Bible tonight? He said, what with thou has to do with me, Lord? He knew who he was, Sean. He knew this man, never seen him in his life. And legion ran to him and said, what hast thou to do with me, Lord? Yeah. I want to say this tonight. When he comes on the scene, you're going to know who he is. Right. And this man that everybody lost hope in all of a sudden had found hope. Yeah. And this little Gadarene, amen. Amen. Everybody quit looking at my baby. She's all right. She falls out, then you can worry about her. Praise God. Amen. Can I tell you, tonight we need to get a hold of Jesus. Because if anybody can, it's God. If anybody can, it's Jesus. And friend, we're worried about everything else in the world. We're worried about everything else. And we forgot about Him. You know what Jesus done? Jesus done the unthinkable. And He took a bunch of unclean animals. The Jewish people, I mean, would have had a fit. Amen. He took a bunch of unclean animals and he casted out that spirit, that evil demons out of him, went into that old hog lot, and they run off the side of the mountain and they drowned themselves in the ocean. And Jesus, all he had to do was say this, come out, come out. I'm going to ask you a question. Does anybody know that Jesus can tonight? Does anybody know that there is a Savior?
Yes.
And He still can do what He did then. He can do it now like He did it then. And He can do so much more.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, He can.
He's still Lord.
Yes.
He's still Lord. And tonight, friend, not only did He heal this Gadarene, but I like what the Bible said. It said that they came and they saw. There was a girl that I went to school with. I was best friends with her. And what I'm about to tell you, you're going to laugh at, but this woman, this girl, she dipped back her with the best of them. And we'd be out there in shop class, and she'd look over and say, give me a pinch, and she'd fill that lip plumb full. She was tough. She was tough. I mean, I wouldn't have messed with her, Cliff. She'd messed you up, amen? And me and Chastity become real good friends. And, amen, she's a family friend. I went and sat at her wedding, and that wedding lasted a total of two minutes. 2 minutes. I mean, they run down the aisle, had the camouflaging overalls on. Amen. I ain't telling a lie. This is the truth. Amen. Came running down the aisle, and they said, I do too. Amen. Kissed the bride. They packed their lip with backer, and out the door they went. That's the honest truth. I witnessed that. I was going, oh, my goodness. Took their wedding pictures like that. Anyways, I got off track. Chastity comes up to me in the Save-A-Lot on a Saturday evening. I could hear her screaming plumb on the other side, Cody, Cody. And I thought, who in the world? I hadn't been saved real long, Brother Terry. Here she comes. As soon as I seen her coming, I knew who it was. She come running over and she grabbed me up, and I mean, just picked me up, slung me all around. And I said, Chastity, it's good to see you. How are you? She said, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. She said, you know, me and Travis got married, and we got us a little baby on about going to be on the way. She said, we just found out, and all this stuff was happening in their lives. And Chastity said, well, how's everything going? I said, Chastity, I've never been better in my entire life. And she said, what's happened to you? I said, I just got saved. I said, I called on Jesus, and he saved me, changed my life. And this was the words that she responded to me. She said, no, not the Cody Harris that I know. He would never buy in and believe in such a false story. And I just got to testify to her and said, no, Chastity, you don't understand. He changed my mind, my heart, my actions, my mouth. Everything about me, he has changed. What did they see about the Gadarene? Friend, I'm a firm believer tonight that if there is never a change in your life, there is no conversion. Amen. Christ changes you. And if there's no change, there's no conversion. There's never been no conviction. Amen. And so tonight, I want you to understand that when they seen this man, he was different. Yeah. This man, they said he was no longer naked. What was the first thing? He was clothed. Amen. That was something they hadn't seen in a long time. And they seen him. They said, who is that guy? Boy, that looks like that guy that was up in the tombs. Oh, that looked like that crazy man that we tried to fetter up and chain up. And that can't be him. He's got clothes on. He's down here in the city. This can't be him. John, I wonder how many people's looked at you since you Emmaus walked and said, who is that? Do you ever get any of those reactions? If you don't, there's probably something wrong. When somebody looks at your life and they say, there's just something different about you. I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint it. You just say, Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that can do that. Amen. And the Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. Amen. Boy, ain't you glad that Jesus can take a distorted, absolutely cluttered up, noise-filled mind, and he can take and he can rearrange all those thoughts and all those bad habits, all those bad patterns, and he gives you a brand new mind, amen, by the regeneration. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. By the regeneration of the Spirit. Friend, can I tell you tonight, not only does he get in your mind, but he inhabits your heart.
Yeah.
And all of that evil and wickedness and blackness that causes our heart to be stony, he breaks it. He breaks it. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. He didn't say just a few things. He said all things have become what? I can't hear you. My ear stopped up. I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. All things are new. Because when Jesus comes in, he gives you a new life. And this Gadarene man's walking downtown. He's got his clothes on. He's feeling good. Amen. He just met Jesus of Nazareth, Scotty. And he's walking around, and they said, who is that boy over there? Well, that's that Gadarene man. No, that can't be him. He's got clothes on, and he's not crazy. And Chastity said, no, not Cody Harris. No. I said, yes, because only Jesus can. Amen. This child, Jairus, comes, and that with a purpose, his daughter is about to die. Amen. I pray that none of us has to go through that situation. Hey, amen. We're a young child, or even one of your children, you may have gone through that. Amen. And that is something that is with you for the rest of your life. And Jairus is watching his daughter take her final breath of life. And he comes to Jesus and he says unto Jesus, if you'd only speak the words. He said, if you could just speak the word. He said, I know that she'd be healed. Friend, can I tell you tonight? Old Jairus, he put a whole lot of faith in someone that he'd only heard about. I don't believe Jairus had personally known Jesus at this point in his life. He just heard about him. He just knew about him. He'd heard the miracles that he had done. Now, every one of us in here had heard about Jesus before we ever encountered him. Am I correct? Right. Amen. You just heard about him. You heard somebody preach about him. You heard somebody teach about him. You heard somebody maybe come up to your job or at school and say, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Have you ever been saved? And then you begin to wander more. There was some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my pastor's house one time, knocked on the door, and Gerald was sitting in the living room, and there was a little girl that was standing at his door. And she's knocking on the door. He answered the door. There stood that little girl, and there was nobody else with her. And she said, sir, she said, can I tell you about our religion? He said, well, who are you with? And then finally two ladies come out from around the corner of the house, and Gerald said, oh, okay. He said, come in. My wife just put supper on. They come in. They don't know that he's a Baptist pastor. So they come in, they sit down, and they begin to flood Gerald. Now, if anybody has ever met my pastor or knows anything about my pastor, he is as just to the point and blunt as anybody you'll ever meet. There ain't no beating around the bush about anything. And so they come in, and Gerald's sitting there, and he's saying, yeah. He said, okay, are you done? And that lady looked at him and she said, well, yeah, do you have any questions? He said, yeah, I've only got one thing I'd like to say, and I'd like to speak to that young lady. Well, they looked over at her and he said, young lady, do you know who Jesus is? Her eyes was filled with intrigue. Do you know who Jesus is? Her eyes lit up and she was listening. And all of a sudden that woman grabbed her up and they stopped up her ears and they began to scream, blasphemy, blasphemy. He said, you know his blood is the only thing that can save you and that from a damnation in hell. And that little girl watched him all the way out the door. Gerald looked at me and he said, Cody, you know why I did that? He said, because I know all the way home, her little 8-year-old girl was saying, Mama, who's Jesus? Mama, why he shed his blood for somebody like me? Mama, tell me more, amen. Friend, we need to let somebody know that Jesus can tonight. Amen. And this little girl laid lifeless, and Jairus said, please do something for my daughter. As he went towards this house, there's a woman with the issue of blood that comes into play for 12 years. This woman, I believe, is on her last leg, and she crawls into this crowd. I believe that all of her strength has been spent. I believe her spirit is low. I believe her attitude at this moment of life is, I've just got to get somewhere where somebody can help me. Tonight, spiritually speaking, we've all been in that place where we said, I've got to get some help. Whether you've been addicted to drugs, whether you've been an alcoholic, whether you've been addicted to pornography, whether you have been a wife beater or a woman, if you've been a cheater on your husband, or whatever it is, we've all have a moment in our life when we have to make a choice. Am I going to get help, or am I going to continue down this destructive path that's going to end to nothing good but desolation and destruction? This woman, I believe, is crawling through the crowd that day. And there's people. The Bible said the multitude thronged. And I believe this woman crawled through this crowd. And I believe she was sweating. I believe the blood was on her garments. And you know, there had to be a cleansing process in those days. And now if you was deemed unclean, you know, if you had blood on you, whatever it is, an illness, whatever it is, you had to go through a cleansing process. You was cast out from society. This woman come through this crowd knowing that she just needed help. And she got as far as she could get. And I believe all she got a hold of was one fringe. One little hinge of that garment. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, a fringe, right? Everybody knows what that is. Fringe. I believe she got a hold of one fringe. And immediately Jesus stopped. And he said, somebody has touched me. Somebody has touched me. And Peter turns around and said, Lord, what do you mean somebody's touched you? He said, somebody's touched me because the virtue has gone out of me. And he turns in that same moment and he looks this woman in the eyes. And immediately, the Bible says the issue of blood stanched. That means it stopped. It ceased. It was over. And he turns and he looks at this woman, and you can say it however you want to say it. Jesus, he said, you've been made whole. You're healed. You've received your help. Now what about this little girl? In the same moment, a servant comes. You can read this in another account of the gospel, and a servant comes and says that Jairus' daughter has died. Boy, Jesus has ended up in a hard place. He was on his way to Jairus' house, but he was intersected by a woman who was also about to spend the last moments of her life in agony. She's healed. Well, Jesus goes down anyways to Jairus' house. And when he walks in, he said, where is she? She's done died, and they're already singing the mourning songs. They're already preparing everything. Amen. The blanket's done been placed over her face. The coins have done been laid over her eyes. There's already the group of mourners that's come and is already singing. You see, that was the tradition then. Their house would be flooded with people that would just go in and mourn and weep for the family. So their whole house is filled with these people that's mourning and lamenting and crying over this girl that's died. Jesus goes in and they begin to mock him. And you know what Jesus does? He says, get out. And I'm just paraphrasing, but he says, get them out. They cast them out, and Jesus goes into the room of this girl. And he tells her to arise. Now, how many tonight would have the faith enough to believe that with just the word arise, Jesus can raise the dead? Today's society would tell us that we are demented, that our minds are distorted and messed up. But you see, amen, if they would look in the mirror, they'd realize how messed up they are. Because, friend, I know that Jesus can. I'm going to say that doctors only have so much they can do. I want to say, dear friend, that psychiatrists only can do so much. Amen, I want to say that morticians, amen, they may have been about to load this girl up and go put her in her grave. But friend, can I tell you, when Jesus stepped in and he casted out all those naysayers and that mourning group that done showed up, amen, can I tell you, John Cannon, the mourning group had already showed up at Cody Harris's house. Oh, they done gave up on me. Amen, I was as good as dead. I was as good as gone. Amen, but they was one stepped in, and they's one that told them to get out, and they's one that said, hey, there's hope, there's help, there's healing. Amen, thank God tonight. Of their salvation for those that are lost tonight. Amen. Verse 23 said, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee to come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she'll live. Jesus went. Much people followed him. They thronged him. Certain woman, they issued blood. He had suffered many of these things. Talked about her physician, her problems. We go down, look at here. We get to this place of Jairus in verse 34. The Bible said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. We be whole of the plague. And yet, while he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogues of the house of a certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And so we go down a few more verses here. Verse 39 said, when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? This is the mourning crowd he's talking to. The damsel's not dead, but she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They made fun of him. But when he had put them all out, he said, get out of here. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and they entered in where the damsel was lying. I love this scripture. Look, verse 41, don't miss it. And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, that word, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. So she didn't just wake up and look around. She jumped out of the bed. And she walked. For she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Friend, tonight I want to ask you, do you know Jesus can? The Bible said that nothing. Somebody needs to hear me. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Tonight the Bible said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Friend, can I tell you tonight that with Him, there's nothing impossible. God can. You may be sick tonight. Can I tell you God can heal you? Tonight there may be those with cancer. Can I tell you God can, and He will, if it's His will, He will heal them. Friend, I'm going to tell you, these people tell me all the time, says, preacher, why don't we see healing like we once seen? Because we ain't got faith, amen. We say, well, I think God can do it. It ain't a thinking process, it's a knowing process. Knowing Jesus can. Amen. What about your job situation? You believe God can fix that? What about your marriage? You believe God can fix that? Yes, He can. Amen. He ain't Bob the Builder. Bob's going to do so much. Amen. Jesus can. Some of you don't even know who Bob the Builder is. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Amen. I had to hear it all the way to Middle Tennessee the other day. Bob the Builder. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Let me tell you who can do it. Jesus can. And tonight it don't matter what it is. It don't matter if you're dead and in the grave. If it's His will to raise you from the dead, He'll raise you. Amen. Amen. If you're sick and it's His will for you to be healed, He'll heal you. Amen. I believe a lot of times we pray amiss. I'm about done. Zane, come on. Kobe, come on. Get us a verse of song tonight. Play it just as I am, would you please? Can I tell you tonight, friend, that a lot of times we pray amiss. What do you mean, preacher, pray amiss? Because we take for granted and we forget who we're serving, who we serve. I mean, who do we serve? We just walk around nonchalantly and say, oh yeah, I'm a child of God. You're not just a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're an heir and the joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You've been adopted into a royal priesthood. We walk around and we're just like, oh yeah, I'm saved. Where has the effect gone? Because if He done for you what He done for me, He pulled you out of a miry pit of clay. Set your feet upon a solid rock. Glory! Established your goings. Rescued you from sheer destruction. Who can do that? Jesus. Jesus. Who can take an old boy addicted to pills? Hey man, Brother John, I mean just take it all away. Jesus. Amen. Brother Travis, who can do for you what he done for you? Pornography. I mean ripped it out, praise God. Me, ripped it out, amen. Friend, I'm here to tell you that if anybody can do it, it's him. It's him. And we sell him short. Amen. We say, oh yeah, yeah, we're a child of God. Yeah, we know Jesus. Yeah. Friend, I'm here to tell you, he took a dead man and brought him back to life in me. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus can do anything tonight. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, preacher, you want to tell you what one of the hardest subjects as a pastor and minister is to talk with somebody about? Preacher, can God forgive a rapist? Somebody that's abused little children? Somebody that has just made a mess of somebody's life at a young age? Can God forgive somebody like that? You may tell you that's a hard conversation to have because you ain't going to win it. If they're going to ask you, then they're going to defend it. But friend, I'm here to tell you, he can forgive them. But I tell you what it's going to take is it's going to take them falling under the blood of Jesus and being saved. What about a murderer? Preacher, the Bible says murderers will not inherit heaven. You're right, a murderer won't, but a forgiven murderer will. Somebody saved by the blood, amen. Somebody told me, oh, that prison, those murderers up there in prison, that's just jail salvation. Can I tell you, I serve a Jesus that can save them in there the way that he saves them in here, amen. I'm not backing down from that. They saved me on the side of the road. I ain't got no hay. Glory, amen. Jesus can. Stand to your feet tonight. I wonder, what do you need Jesus to do in your life? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's Kobe, play softly for just a second. I'm going to ask you, what do you need Jesus to do in your life today? Can I ask you tonight, do you believe he can take care of whatever it is? Do you truly believe that? Do you believe that he can take your mess and make it a miracle? Everybody in here tonight might be saved. Everybody in here might be headed to heaven, but I guarantee that there's somebody that's got something they need Jesus to do. The Bible said, if you'll ask, you shall receive. If you'll knock, the door will be open unto you. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is only a prayer away. The altar's full tonight. Some, it probably needs to come. Some probably still need to come. Hey, what do you need Jesus to do for you tonight? He's calling to you right now. What do you need him to do in your life? What kind of work do you need Jesus to do? Can I tell you, all it takes is just one call. And can I tell you, praise God, the phone line ain't never busy, amen? Can I tell you, praise God, that they ain't never a dial tone. There's never a busy signal. Jesus can and will hear your prayer. There's some already praying. You need to go ahead and move. You need to get out from where you are. And you need to come and tell Jesus that you need him to do something in your life. Maybe you need to get more fired up about your salvation. Can I tell you, he'll do that for you tonight. Say, preacher, I need help. I'm struggling with sin. I've got addictions in my life. I need deliverance. Can I tell you, Jesus can tonight? All you got to do is come and call on him. They're going to sing. Father God, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, have your will and way. Amen.